Welcome to the Alcohol Rethink Podcast, the podcast for men who are ready to rethink the role of alcohol in their lives for good. With shared experiences, concepts, tools and coaching, get ready to radically change how you think about alcohol and stop drinking for good. I'm your host, Patrick Fox. Let's go! Hi guys, and welcome to episode number 146 of the Alcohol Rethink Podcast. Today, I'm delighted. I've got a guest on. He is a porn addiction coach, and there's a lot of parallels between our journeys, funnily enough. We've just been talking about that, so I'm really looking forward to having him on. He is an author. He wrote the book Quitting Porn Made Simple. He kind of sees himself as a coach who simplifies shit and asks powerful questions, and for me, that's just gold. So Jordan, welcome to the show, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice one, man. Yeah, so it'd be great to hear your journey of addiction. So slightly different in the sense that it's not alcohol related, but I can absolutely guarantee that for many of the guys out there who are listening, they can relate to this in some way, shape or form. You know, even for me, like, pornography was such a massive part of my life at such a young age, like highly inappropriately as well. And it's just everywhere now. And it's like become even more accessible now because of smartphones and stuff like that. So yeah, it's an important topic. So yeah, let's get stuck in, man. Like, where would you like to start with sharing what your journey's been like?
Yeah, no, I leave everything on the table. I'm not afraid to share stuff about my past. Like, it's part of who I was. So for me, you know, growing up, I grew up in a church. Like, that was just a part of my being. And, you know, growing up, I had those moments where friends would pull out a magazine, right, that was full of porn. And I was that kid who would sit on the other side of the room and be like, nah, like, it's not for me, you know. But fast forward a year or two, I'm like 14 years old, 13, 14, somewhere in there. I have some friends over, and one of them, you know, pulls out the computer and teaches you how to search Google for naked women, and then you can delete your history and you can, you know, delete the evidence that you ever were doing this. And it was just like this light bulb went off of, wow, like, I found the holy grail. This is incredible. And from there, it just, you know, it grows, it spirals. That's what addictions do, is they continue to grow, because that's just the way addiction is designed, right? So, you know, at 14, I started using pornography, masturbating, like, the whole nine yards. It was just almost instantly a part of my identity, even though there was this other part of me that's like, man, I shouldn't be doing this. This is terrible. I don't want to be doing this, but it was like, you just can't find a way to stop. And so I carried that with me for the next 14 years. And during that time, I mean, I graduated from college. I became a chemical engineer. I took on jobs, I got married at one point through there, and I had it with me the entire time. And yeah, like you, like in your journey, I had seasons where I would say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'd go, you know, 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, a month. I've made it, you know, 9 months at one point, 6 months another time. Like, there were always these different parts of the journey where it's like, yeah, I've got it under control, I'm good. And then, you know, you can't really explain it, but things start to happen. And then I would fall right back on my face. And, you know, I would go with that pattern until it was, you know, 2018, where, you know, I hadn't used it for, you know, 4 or 5 months, but had that guilt inside. I confessed it to my wife, and she gave me this ultimatum of, you either figure this out or we're done. And it was a really scary and humbling moment for me that kind of, you know, kicked me in the butt and was like, shoot, I got to figure this out. And so I started working with a therapist and started working with a coach. And during that time, I really began to explore what pornography was to me, and how many different things were driving me to that, and getting that understanding and beginning to look at porn from a different perspective. Man, it just created freedom in my life. And this thing that doesn't own me anymore, it can't just pull me back in whenever it wants me to return to it. So that is kind of from the start to my journey. And then a few years ago, I realized, man, like, a lot of guys struggle with this. And so I started helping guys figure out how they can get out of it. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Amazing journey. Thanks, man. And I'm sure that's the condensed version, and we'll unpack some of it as well, because
For sure.
just as you were sharing, my brain's kind of like, oh, what happened there? What happened there? So I'd love to ask you a few questions about it, and then we could talk about, how you help other guys and how it can be a lot easier than we think it is. Like, it's hard in the beginning, but then it can be a lot easier on ourselves.
Yeah.
So going like way back when, right? Like, so you said you came through the church. At first you weren't interested, but then you got to around 14 years old. I guess testosterone kicks in a little bit more, and puberty, etc. And it was you sh well, one, I'm wondering, like, was there morality attached to it already, right? Especially coming through the church, right? Like, this idea of pornography is bad, or I'm bad for watching or looking, for example.
And like, a lot of the messaging, especially in the church, is that sex is bad. Like that is, and I know their heart. I know where it's coming from, the context of, maybe sex before marriage is wrong. But as a kid, you just take that as all sex is bad. And so knowing that, like, I knew pornography was wrong in my heart. Like that was deep down. But the crazy thing about it is the more I consumed of it, the more shame I felt. And because I felt that shame, the only way I knew how to like process or unpack that shame was to use pornography to sort of numb out that feeling of shame. So it just creates a cycle of, man, like you feel shameful about doing this thing that you don't want to do in the first place. And you just want to deal with that shame. So how do you deal with the shame? You look at pornography, and then it just cycles more and more and more.
Which is just essentially addiction, isn't it? Right? Like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this thing, but I am doing it, and I don't like the way it feels, so you end up doing it, and then it's just a horrible cycle. And there seems to be, as you were sharing, that moment, right? Like, your friend came around with his computer and you discovered that you could delete it. And it's almost like something changed in your brain in that moment, right? Tell me about that. Like, what?
And looking, no, that's a fantastic question. And looking back, it's like knowing who I was in the moment, right? Trying to be this perfect little boy, right, who's becoming a man. There's this avenue to real, I mean, it's like a mosquito flying in a bug light, right? When we see screens, when we see, naked women, like there's something in our mind that's like, and we're like drawn to it. But then there's this other part that's like, I shouldn't be doing this. But now you can delete your entire history and nobody is the wiser except yourself, right? So there was this risk involved, but also this sense of freedom of, man, I can search for this stuff and nobody's going to know about it. Like literally nobody. And I think that is the bait that was like, okay, this is safe. This is powerful. This gets me exactly what I want without the risk of getting in trouble or, being exposed. So, which I've had those moments too, and those moments can suck, but yeah, definitely.
And I mean, this is absolutely fascinating, isn't it? Right? It's like that idea of, like, oh, I can get away with it, or I am getting away with it. Like, thinking, oh, there's this is low risk, or there's freedom, it's like safer to do it this way. But, like, unfortunately, we're still with our own brains. Like, no one else might not know, but we know a lot of the time, and it kind of goes back to that shame spiral that we were talking about a few moments ago.
Exactly.
I think it's important as well to just to acknowledge, pornography has been around for as long as humans have been around, right? It just looks very different to what it did back way back when, right? Like, back in the Stone Age, it might have been a carving of a lady with like two circles for boobs or something, right? And that might have been erotic for cavemen back then, I'm imagining. Because also at a very primitive level, we're designed to procreate. Like, that is the whole point of human beings, right? It's all about procreation and evolving. And so it makes sense that we might be like the moth drawn to the light, right? Because that's inherently what we are designed to do. Which is important to just acknowledge, right? Because I think straight away, You're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but without that understanding of why you might be doing it, okay, you're doing it, but
Yeah.
maybe like the avenue of doing it is just wholly misguided, and we can look at dopamine for that.
Yeah, exactly. And what's fascinating, and this is something that, I'm still working through this, but you're right when you mentioned like our sex drive, our horniness, our desire to procreate, like it's in us, it's a part of us, and it's how we were designed. So part of why pornography is such a powerful drug is because it hijacks that sexual reward system, and it can be almost impossible to escape if you don't know how to get out of it, right? But the thing that it's still, I'm still working through this myself, even though I've been helping guys for 3 years, like this concept around like post-addiction thinking, where, I haven't looked at pornography in 5 years, but it can still be challenging when I'm out on the street and there's girls and super tight clothes with low cut shirts and cleavage, and you're like, I'm attracted to it, but I shouldn't be, and I don't want my thoughts to lead to, I want to see more of that, I want to drive into it. And so it's been this interesting journey of, I can walk down the street and there can be an old lady walking towards me, and my thoughts don't do anything. It's like, oh, she seems really sweet, like I wonder where she grew up, I wonder how old she is, I wonder if her husband's still alive. Like, that's where the thoughts go. But now replace that with an attractive young girl who's, pretty much half naked running down the street, and you're like, her boobs are bouncing. Am I supposed to look? Do I not look? And there's this totally different thought process. And then it kind of speaks to, yeah, there is still this internal like sex drive that, may be driving some of our thoughts. And how do we work with that to, not have our thoughts shift when it's somebody attractive versus somebody who maybe we don't find it as attractive, right? Does that make sense? And I don't know if there's parallels there with alcohol of, as somebody who maybe was addicted to alcohol, when you look at a beer, when you look at something, does your mind shift more towards like, man, I know I shouldn't drink that, I shouldn't even look at it. Like, is there thoughts there? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think there's a slight difference in as much as alcohol, no one needs that, right? Like
Yeah.
alcohol is not essential for survival. But I can see, I totally see where you're coming from on the sense that, like sex is part of life. Like as we've talked about, procreation is life. And same with food, right? Like food is life, right? Like we need food. And so, like,
Yeah.
there are things that we do genuinely need. And I think those are the things that are going to make us more inclined to, like, if we're trying to not watch porn or if we're not trying to eat chocolate, that we're going to have more thoughts of desire for perhaps. I think with alcohol, like, yeah, there may be, you see alcohol and it creates like this dissonance in the mind. But I think over time, like for me now, like, I don't look at alcohol and go through any kind of like
Roll
questioning in my
over.
breath. It's just like I don't drink. It's fine. But like with food and exactly what you're saying about like with women, for example, like I noticed that in myself. What I try to do is go, well, that's dopamine, right? Like it makes sense I'm doing it. It doesn't mean I have to do it, but it makes a lot of sense. I think the thing with porn is though, it fucking hijacks your brain, right? Like it corrupts your mind 100%.
And that can make it even more challenging to get out of it. One, because like it, and I can't explain how it destroys your mind. Like, I know there's a lot of science around dopamine, but there's this other part where, like, the more, and I've even noticed it with social media too. Like, if you get done scrolling through social media, similar to how a porn addict would scroll through videos and find the one that they're looking for that gives them that little extra juice, like our brain just, it feels fried, right? That's the best way I can explain it. And when our brain feels fried like that, we are so susceptible to not being in control, not being the one who's making the decisions in our mind. And because of that, like the second you have an urge, and a lot of guys I think can relate to this, whenever they have that urge or they feel that pit in their stomach, they just immediately give in to the urge, right? There is no resistance, there's no anything. And a part of that is because porn has weighed your brain down so much that You almost have no defense left. It's like, oh, there's that urge again. I might as well just pull the phone out and go to the bathroom, you know, because it's almost instantaneous. And I think that's one of the suckiest things about it is how weak it makes your mind. And that's where I lived. I lived there for 14 years, just with that weakened state of mind. And you know, you can look at the rest of my life and you might think, well, obviously it didn't affect you too much. You graduated as a chemical engineer and you worked in all these different places, kind of these high brain powered jobs. But at the same time, there's a difference between that brain power and just the ability to be aware of yourself and your actions and what's driving those, you know?
Yeah. It's essentially that think, feel, act cycle is almost so hardwired into your brain because your brain knows what the reward of watching porn is going to be, that there's
Yeah.
not a mo there's not a millisecond of any other options for you, right? And so it's
Yeah.
just like, yeah, you think you do, right? Which is very primitive in and of itself, right? But I'm sure
Yeah.
maybe this is what you do with your clients. I know that I certainly do, is the whole concept of rethinking is being able to start creating awareness of when those thoughts come up and recognizing that you don't have to follow through with them. In the same way that you're walking down a road, right? Like, and you see a lady who's half naked running, for example, like you don't have to do anything about that, right?
Right.
But your brain might offer you lots of other suggestions otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great way to look at it for sure. Yeah, recognizing our own power to choose in those moments. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why like learning about dopamine is so important, because like I wrote this word down actually as you were sharing, is it's all about the hunt. Like it's the anticipation of the reward, which is almost as exciting as the actual reward itself. And so you
Yeah.
mentioned like scrolling through porn and like looking for that perfect video or whatever, like that's almost the bit that's just as exciting. Or it's the waiting for the weekend and you're start getting excited about having that first beer on a Friday after work or whatever it may be. Like that's almost as exciting as the actually the act of doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, especially with pornography, there's that concept of edging, right? If you're looking at porn and you're masturbating, you don't want to finish. You don't want to ejaculate because you love the hunt. That's why you're doing it, is because there's this you know, there's this book called Scarcity Brain, and he talks about the scarcity loop in it. And basically there's a flow, right? There's this pattern of there's an opportunity, there's unpredictable rewards, and there's quick repeatability. That's like this scarcity loop concept. And if you think about pornography, right, there's this opportunity to feel really good. We know that each video has an unpredictable reward. We're not quite certain what we're watching, what we're getting into. Some have shock value, some kind of turn you off a little bit. And so you don't know what you're going to get, right? You don't know if you're going to win, if you're going to lose in this situation, but there's immediate repeatability, right? If the video that you're watching doesn't do it for you, well, there's 35 million other videos that you can choose from that, you know, may give you that hit that you're looking for. And oftentimes we'll stop masturbating because we don't want to finish yet. We want to keep pushing. We want to keep going through that cycle of the opportunity, the unpredictable reward, and then being able to repeat it quickly. And if we're not aware of that, man, we'll just keep going for hours and hours. And I've had sessions where, you know, it's 9 o'clock when I start, and by the time I finish, it's 2 in the morning, and you're like, it's been 5 hours. Like, where did the time go? And it's just like you're in a time lapse that you wake up and you realize, dang, I have been searching this stuff for hours and hours and hours. I feel horrible, I feel shameful, I feel guilty, yada 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 yada. But beforehand, you're right, it's like, I want the hunt. I want that experience. It feels good hunting and being on the prowl for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'll have to check that book out. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is a powerful book for sure.
Yeah, and like that's the problem with a lot of addiction is just everything's fucking here, available to you at all times nowadays, right? Like especially with smartphones, like you can literally walk around with porn in your pocket, which is scary. And like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go down this track too much, but I think about, you know, because I've got a teenage daughter and I think about what watching porn does and what you think porn is like, what sex is like in real life, for example. Like, and it scares me to think about like what boys are being influenced by, and not just boys, like that could be girls as well, of course. But you know, just like it's not a very good influence. And maybe going back to what you were saying is, you know, there's not a lot of talk about sex really from a young age, you know, because if there's morality involved, if it's like we just kind of like have to figure it out on your own, sort of. But if you've got porn as your teacher, then not a good start.
And I get, so I talk with a lot of parents, right? I coach teenagers, and men alike, but the conversations that I usually have with parents, they're just dumbfounded, right? Because they didn't know that their son was doing this stuff, exposed to this stuff, and now they're being blackmailed for getting in too far over their heads, and they don't know how to help them out. Because back in their day, it was just magazines, and if you couldn't get your hand on a magazine, well, you probably weren't looking at porn. And they don't know how to handle this just constant onslaught of exposure of, you know, if you're on social media for more than 10 minutes, I promise, especially if you're a man, it's going to try to throw suggestive images your way that are going to trigger those thoughts of, man, I want to see more. I want to go on that hunt, right? It like sparks that fire in you, and you're like, man, how do I navigate this? And as parents, they generally don't know. They don't know how to help them out of this situation, which is usually when I come in and start working one-on-one with that teenager to help him navigate that. Because the fascinating thing about pornography is, at our heart of hearts, I think we all know that it's not the healthy way to cope with things. It's not good for us. It's actually a really bad habit. And one of the easiest ways to sort of lie detector test it is to ask yourself, like, man, if you had a kid, if you had a son, or if you had a daughter, would you want them looking at pornography? Would you want them using it every single week to help get through whatever it is they're getting through? And if we're honest with ourselves, that answer will immediately be no. And if it's true for them that, you know, maybe porn isn't the healthiest way, you'd think it would be true for yourself, but a lot of us can't seem to get to that conclusion and then decide, I'm ready to change this. I'm ready to get out of it for good and leave it as a thing in the past.
Yeah, right, because the reward to the mind feels so great. All right, so it feels like a good segue into something that you mentioned would be good to talk about, and that's the secret to quitting porn. Tell us about
It's,
that.
you know, it's something where when I started my own journey, I started working with a therapist, like I mentioned, and so much of what we did was not related to porn at all, right? It's not like in football, right? You learn the fundamentals of passing and shooting and, you know, trapping the ball and using simple skills to get around players and pass a move and things like that. There's not like a fundamentals block and training program to get you out of porn, right? And you know, I wrote a book that it's called Quitting Porn Made Simple, because I've tried to simplify the process, but there's this key step at the start, which I have come to learn is like a superpower for anything that you're trying to accomplish in life or habit you're trying to break. And I mean, it's this, right? You make a decision to do something, right? If it's stopping porn, it's stopping porn. If it's quitting alcohol, it's quitting alcohol. It could be whatever, but make a decision. And then there's this second step that I believe is probably the most powerful, and it's don't mope about it. Like I've had experiences where I, you know, I changed my eating habits, and this is in the last few years. I stopped eating sugar, right? And it's not that I'm never eating sugar, but for that season, I was like, I'm not going to eat sugar for like 3 months. And I was getting angry. Like there was some physical, psychological, like I want sugar. And I was getting kind of pissy. And it's like, okay, wait a second. Don't mope about it. Like, don't stop complaining, stop whining, which obviously we have the power to complain or not complain, to mope or not mope, to be sad, to not be sad, et cetera, over the decision that we've made. And if guys can really wrap their mind around that, thinking about pornography, when that urge comes, if you have made the decision in your mind, and I mean like really made it, like I am not going to do this, and you don't allow yourself to mope about it or think about the urge of, well, I should just look at it. It's like, no, like you're not going to mope. Like that second part is so key. And if you can put those things together, it becomes a superpower for you that you can easily step out of porn. Now, obviously, there's other things that I work with. I work with emotions and, you know, some mindfulness and just getting more in control of your thoughts. That way you're driving your life, not your thoughts driving you. But like that process or those two steps, I believe, are some of the most pivotal and fundamental things that your listeners, if they're trying to get out of porn, if they can just hold on to that, make a decision, don't mope about it, it's going to create a lot of freedom for them.
Yeah, wicked. I like that. Make a decision, don't mope about it. I
Yeah.
think the moping thing as well is, you know, like we say, moping, feeling sorry for ourselves, or like, oh, why can't I do it? It's not fair. Like all of that kind of stuff. Could even say victim mentality in a sense, right? But it's funny. I was thinking about this earlier on. It's the idea of moving towards something rather than kind of moving away from something, right? Because I think when we think we're moving away, it's like, you know, like you mentioned earlier about how, oh, you made it through 9 months. But like even just the language of like, I made it through, like sounds like a struggle, right? It sounds like you're
Yeah.
moving away from it, like rather than like being pulled towards something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great way to look at it too. And I think this really goes deep with like your thought process of, I can remember when I first started quitting, my thought was, man, if I could just make it a year, right? And that thinking, well, it's good to have goals. I'm not saying it's not good to have goals, but in this specific area, especially with pornography, like not being at that goal can be so detrimental to our mental state and our thought process that we already think we're a failure because we haven't made it a year yet, even though we just made the decision to quit yesterday. It's like, no, you're one day in. Like let's be grateful that you've made it a day without looking at pornography. That's a huge win. Don't beat yourself up because you haven't made it a year or 5 years or 10 years. Like let's focus on what's happening right now today, and let's move eventually. If you work on the fundamentals and if you hold on to that, make a decision, don't mope about it, you're going to make it a year. But if you allow the shame and the guilt of not being at a year yet to sabotage you, now that sweet little porn voice comes in and it's like, hey, you haven't made it a year yet, you're nothing, like you're not going to make it there, and let's just go back, let's go grab our phone, let's go to the bathroom, let's do our thing. Let's make it happen. And that's when that thinking can really drive us down, and it can suck for sure. And I know you mentioned the 9 months. Like I'd love to share that story because a lot of people I think would be like, how'd you make it 9 months?
Yeah,
And
go.
why would you ever go back to it? Right. And this is the crazy thing, right? So I wasn't married during this time. I was a single guy, and I had made it 9 months, and I was like, I was committed. I was, bouncing my eyes, like not giving into any temptation. And I actually had a wet dream. Like I woke up, I'd had a wet dream, and it was like instantly I grabbed my phone because it was like, man, I want more of that. And it was like something awakened in me to just, I mean, I was hungry for the hunt. And like it was obviously still there. I hadn't dealt with a lot of the things that, were contributing to it. But man, it was like going from 0 to 100 like that. So
Yeah.
it's, yeah, something I'm happy to share for guys who also make it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden they just fall flat on their face and can't figure out why.
If I to podcast I've recorded to go out today is about faded effect bias, and it's like we forget the pain of what or why we were changing something in the first place. So I think that's a massive part. There are some really key points though that I just want to kind of highlight from what you've just shared as well. And so one is that idea of like we can set ourselves a goal, but we put a lot of pressure on it. We put a lot of conditions on it, and we go like, well, when I get here, then I'll feel this, right?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work that way, right? Like, because we're only ever here, right? Like, we're here and now. I think goals
Yeah.
are great. It's important to set those kind of milestones, but then just almost forget about them, you know. When I stopped drinking, for the last time, because I did a similar to you. Like I did a 7 month stint without drinking, but like I was never honest with myself about why I wasn't doing it in the first place. And then went back to drinking. But yeah, like I set that goal of 1 year no beer. That was kind of like the philosophy I had. And then after a few months, like I was like, do you know what? I'm actually done. Like I'm not, this isn't even a thing anymore. Like I just don't want it in my life anymore. And so there's a book by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy, Dr. Benjamin Hardy, called The Gap and the Gain. And they talk about this in a concept, right? Like we've got the gap and the gain. And so often what happens is like we set a goal, which is the ideal. And then there's where we get to, which is kind of like somewhere in the middle. And then there's where we start, right? But what we end up doing is we compare ourselves to the ideal, and that's called the gap. Right. And that feels shit because you're like, well, it's like exactly like you're saying, like, I should have been here by now. It's not working, like all of that stuff. Versus looking at, okay, so what's the gain? Like, what's changed since I've not been doing this thing, right? Whether that's pornography or alcohol or drugs or phones, whatever, right? Yeah. So, like, really showing yourself what you are doing rather than what you think you're not doing.
That's a really powerful perspective, and I can see how, like, we measure against that the gap, right? And then we just
Yeah.
pull ourselves all the way back
Feels
to,
terrible. It feels terrible.
it does. And I think part of that depression, right, the pulling ourselves back down, is because we think that when we reach that goal, like, it's usually it's bigger than just the goal, right? I think a lot of us, when we set a goal, even if it's a financial goal, if it's a relationship goal, if it's something, in our minds we think that when we achieve it, like, all of our problems are going to be gone. Man, if
Yep.
I could just make $1 million, I wouldn't have a single problem ever in my life. And it's like, well, that's not really true. Like, you're still going to have challenges. And it's the same thing with pornography. Man, if I made it a year without porn, there would be nothing holding me back. There'd be no challenges, no hurdles to overcome. I would just be set. And then we, like, start going through the journey of quitting porn, and we realize, well, shoot, my boss is still a jerk. I don't know how to work with him. This sucks. Like, this doesn't feel good. And all these things start to kind of bombard us. And then the only thing we're left with is, well, maybe I shouldn't have quit porn, because at least I had that going for me. At least that was like my medicine or my
Yeah.
injection to help me numb out and not feel this stuff. So I think if we're not aware of it, yeah, it's so easy for that gap to just shoot us right back down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like, well, I can't do anything about my boss and all these other things, but one thing I can control is whether I watch porn or not. So fuck it, I'm just gonna watch it, right?
And you just, And I think,
Yeah.
so speaking to that, I really think that there's a critical part of the process of figuring out what porn is doing for you. And I'm sure as you work with guys to overcome alcohol, there's a similar process of, like, at a core level, it is doing something for you. And in your mind, it's doing something positive for you. And if we don't kind of get to the root of that to figure it out, I mean, that's one thing I talk about a lot in reels and videos in my book, is this inner fear of giving it up, right? There's, man, if we don't tackle that first, it's going to be really challenging, because those, it's like an undercurrent or a riptide, right? That's just pulling you back out, because you might want to stop, but deep down you might think, but if I really give this up, I'm going to have to suffer, just relentless nights of urges, never-ending urges. I'm not going to have confidence anymore. I'm not going to be sexually educated. There's all these things that we think are serving us in some way that giving it up can feel really scary. And I don't blame a lot of guys. Like, it can feel scary choosing to give that thing up that's been helping us for most of our lives, for most of us.
Yeah. That question I asked myself was, well, who am I without alcohol in my life, right? And that was a scary prospect because I'd become so wrapped up in my identity as a drinker and similar for you perhaps in terms of like someone who watches porn, right? And how and why they use it.
Absolutely.
I remember I had a belief as well when I first stopped drinking is that alcohol, stopping drinking would make everything better, right? Now that has actually turned out to be true, but not in the way that I'd expected, right? Like it took a lot longer to be true than it wasn't. And so, I put a lot of expectation on stopping drinking, and it sounds like you maybe did something similar, right? Like, well, if I just remove this thing from my life. And you know what? It's funny because I'm doing it with sugar now, and when you shared about it, I was like, fuck, this is exactly what I'm doing with sugar. It's like I'm putting a lot of expectation on it to change a lot of stuff. And of course, like the moment you do that, it just feels heavy. But one thing that stopping drinking did do is it created space to start working through some of that stuff, start becoming more self-aware, and all of the other things that come as a result. And then the benefits of not drinking come as well, right? What was your experience around that?
It's a really awesome question, and I think it is something worth highlighting because a lot of us, like we start something, and like especially with pornography, it does take a toll on your mind. It's you are desensitized, your sexual performance, especially if you're with somebody or you're married or whatever, like it's affected. It's there's no way around it. I promise you it's affected. And there's people who, they have to look at porn before they have sex because they have to get their mind like in that mode. They can't just do it naturally. And there's so many just side effects of it that we don't realize. And as soon as we stop with pornography, actually, there the benefits come quickly, but the challenges, so do the challenges of the urges and that desire, like that deep burning for it. And the mental process of, okay, Jordan, this is our path. We look at porn, we feel better, and we deal with life. And so, a lot of the benefits, ironically, come pretty quick, but we sabotage ourselves because we still have the same feelings. We think that if we make a decision to quit porn, the urges are going to stop. Everything's just going to go pie in the sky, super easy. It's going to be a cakewalk. And then we get smacked in the face with our first urge, and we're like, and we try to white knuckle it, and we try to hold on for dear life. And like even with sugar, it's like, don't eat the sugar, don't even look at it, don't do this. And we're trying to like grip on so tightly, when really, if we just stop and recognize that we have the power to choose, man, now it's like, all right, this gets a little bit easier than maybe I thought it was going to be, and I get the benefits. Like this is super cool. So I think if people can really learn and master that process of, okay, let's set our expectations. There's still going to be challenges. I'm still going to feel stuff, but I'm going to get the benefits as well. It may take time, but this is what we're working towards,
So what ways do you help guys kind of work through their urges? Like, what are some tools or tips that you've got? Because I think it's super similar to what we're talking
Oh,
about here.
1,000%. I guarantee they're so similar. So, for me, one of the practices, a lot of when we do one-on-one coaching calls, we're working through emotions. And I don't mean like, well, tell me how you feel about that, or it's not like that approach. It's more, we look at how they're handling situations that are happening right now in their life, and I help them decompress. I help them explore like how they actually feel about it and begin to get to the heart of that, because I think the emotional part of our life is part of the key of why we return to our addictions, is because we don't know how to manage that. So that's like one part, managing our emotions, being aware of them. That's half the battle. But then I encourage my clients to do practices of like mindful breathing. And the reason that I sort of require them to do that is because as I went through my journey, I recognized how pivotal that was. Because when you do a breathing exercise where you're just focusing on your breath, you realize real fast how weak your mind is and how quickly it fills your brain with thoughts of, we should go look at porn, we should, check out girl, we should get on Facebook or Instagram to find some sexy pictures. And it just throws thoughts at us, right? And we often don't feel like we're in control, and these breathing exercises help with that. And my favorite challenge that I give my clients, and it's always the funniest one to talk about, it's always the one they freak out the most about, but I tell them to actually go to a grocery store, and I tell them to lay down in the middle of an aisle, Now, I don't tell them to lay down like crosswise and block traffic and all that stuff, but I just have them go to the middle of the store, pick whatever aisle they want, and just lay down. And the reason I have them do that is because I want them to experience the feeling in their mind of the panic, the anxiety, the I have to get up, I have to, and your brain will try to force you to do something. And it's this really cool moment of wrestling with that to say, I can stay laying on the ground. It's okay. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not doing anything illegal. It's not like I'm really doing anything wrong. It might be frowned upon, but at the same time, it's this transformational experience of, oh wait, I'm in control. Look at the thoughts that my brain is throwing at me. It's yelling at me to get up, get off the ground. This is stupid. You're an idiot for doing this. But the longer that you can lay there, the more you realize, wow, I have so much power. I can work with my mind to stay on the ground. And then by the time they get up, they're like, this is incredible. They feel empowered. They're ready to take on any challenge because they just went head to head with their mind, the thing that's been driving them back to photography. That's like one of my favorite exercises to walk clients through.
Yeah, that's cool, mate. It's like exposure therapy, isn't it? It's like just going out and being with that discomfort of lying in the middle of a store and having people look at you and talk about you and just watch your brain just freak the fuck out, basically.
Even if there's nobody in the aisle, your brain still freaks out because you're like, man, if somebody sees me, what are they going to think? And I tell them if anybody comes over and asks like, are you okay, they just tell them like, just say, yeah, I was tired for a minute, just needed to lay down. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I've one of my clients was a missionary in Africa, and I guess grocery stores there are like way different than in America, in Europe, et cetera. But he laid down. He's big guy, right? He lays down and everybody in the grocery store like swarms around him. And it made me laugh thinking about it, but he caused this huge scene. But I'm like, it's so perfect. Like I couldn't have asked for a better experience for someone to lay down and have almost everybody in the store swarm and be like, are you okay? Do you need something? Yada yada yada. And he's like, no, I just felt tired. And he got up and went and did his shopping and everybody went back to normal. But I just picture that scene, like ants just flooding in, trying to take care of him when he's just trying to do an exercise that I gave him to do. So it can be wild.
That and just like his mind going wild. But yeah, it's a good exercise and just sitting with discomfort, essentially, which is exactly what you're saying, is no different. Like when you have an urge, right? Like it feels uncomfortable. The brain has lots of thoughts about what is happening, and so often, like the way we think to get rid of it is by doing the thing that is the wanting of the thing that's causing the discomfort anyway, because we think we can't have it, right? And so we end up doing it. The more you can do that and be comfortable with it, like it's fine, it gets better. I like even yesterday, I came back from football, had like a bowl of frozen fruit and yogurt. It was delicious. I really enjoyed it. And then my brain was like, have something else. You're like, go and have something else. And I was like, oh fuck. And I could feel it in my body. But like I just had this moment of like, yeah, but you ain't gonna get a six pack if you go and eat something else now. And then, like in that moment, it just diffused the situation. I was like, yeah. And then, like a couple of minutes later, I thought about food again, but it wasn't creating the urge to have food, which is fascinating. So, yeah, like urges show up in so many different ways, right? It could be the urge to pick up the phone. It could be the urge to make a cup of coffee. It could be the urge to go for a run, even, right? Like, just for anyone listening, like look at all of the different ways that urges show up for you in your life.
And one of the funniest, I think, sources of urges, especially for pornography addictions, is sometimes when you have to go to the bathroom, right? Like there's pleasure sensors in your like rectum, and as poop passes over that, it can actually trigger you to feel horny. And a lot of us aren't even aware of that. And this may be like way too much information for your listeners and things like that, but like it can drive a porn addict right into pornography. And it's like, man, if you had just gone to the bathroom, the urge would have been gone. Like if you had just sat with it for 30 more seconds, you would have had a clean day, a successful day, but instead you kind of fell on your face. And now you're back to where you didn't want to be. But you're right, like just sitting with that discomfort for, I mean, even 30 seconds is enough to diffuse its power, like you said, like you acknowledged it. And I think that's such a cool aspect of your brain was like, man, let's go get something else to eat. Let's fill our bodies with sugar. And you're like, I could. I really could. There's food here. There's no reason I shouldn't. But at the same time, it's not going to lead to the result that I want. So thanks, but no thanks. But you acknowledge it. And I think that acknowledgement just diffuses so much that a lot of us don't realize that power as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Cold showers as well, right? Like, have a cold shower. That'll make you feel uncomfortable. And also, like, if you are having an urge to do something, have a cold shower, and that urge will not be there at the end of it. I can guarantee that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
nice,
sure.
man.
Yeah.
Wicked. Well, listen, Jordan, it's been amazing. Like, time's flown by, unfortunately. So, couple of questions before we go. Like, is there anything that you'd like to offer, suggest, advise to any of the guys listening when it comes to porn addiction?
You know, I think just know that it's okay to step out of it. It's okay to have the fear of giving it up. I think it's totally natural. There's no shame with that, right? It's one of those things where in society everything is driving us towards that. Like if you think about all the movies we watch, the shows we watch, everything pushes a message of porn is amazing, porn is part of what we need to survive. Like it's how we educate ourselves. Like everything is pointing in that direction. So if you realize the enemy that you're actually up against, it's massive. It's one of the biggest armies that has probably ever been formed. And it's okay to be in that journey. It's okay to flop on your face every single day, multiple times a day, multiple times per week. Like there's never, when I work with the clients, there's never shame of you screwed up. Like, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? It's like, no,
Yeah.
this is learning ground. This is like fertile soil of, all right, let's learn like what happened, when did the urge come, what were you feeling, what were the thoughts, what was happening around you. Like if I can give your listeners any encouragement, it's, man, if you can strip the shame off of it, right? It's, and if they're a Marine, and if they're thinking God hates this, God hates me for doing it, like, man, you're so loved by God, by the people around you, like the shame can just dissipate, it can go away. You don't have to live under that rock and that boulder of just feeling depressed and bummed and defeated all the time. I think that's probably the best encouragement that I can give them is just let it go. Just let it drop by the wayside and work through it, you know?
Yeah, important message, man. Like, 'cause I think that shame and beating ourselves up, like that keeps us trapped, keeps us perpetuating
Yeah.
whatever the addiction is.
Yeah.
Super important. All right, cool. We'll do one, well, two final things. One question is, what does it mean to be radically human?
To be radically human, I think it's honestly getting to a place where we're okay with who we are. And what I mean by who we are is like accepting everything. And I don't mean accepting it as like if alcohol is destroying your life, well, I just accept alcohol as a part of my life. But accepting where you're at right now and maybe thinking about it as a place of I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Like getting to that place where, you know, as humans, we screw up and we screw up a lot and we're not perfect. And if we can own that, if we can like be radically human and accept that element of ourselves, it creates so much freedom, I think, for us to then just grow from there instead of kind of looking at it from that gap perspective of, I've made so many mistakes. I'm not where I want to be. I'm holding myself back. This is stupid. And then again, that shame cycle just kind of drives you into the ground. So accept the humanity. Be proud of some of the mistakes that you've made because they're all going to lead to an incredible journey if you allow it to do that, if you choose to be radically human. That to me is what I take from that.
Yeah, beautiful. Brilliant. Thanks so much, man. And before we go, if anyone wants to reach out, get in contact, follow you, buy your book, where do they need to go?
So they can go to takeabreakfromporn.org. That's probably the easiest place to learn about me, what I do, to find my book, to find my course, to set up a free consultation, just to chat and just to see, man, like, where are you at in your journey? What have you been through? What are you looking to accomplish? And if there's a way that I can help, I will do that. If there's a resource I can point you to, I'll send you there. That's the easiest way. I am on socials like Facebook. You can just look up Jordan Keefe, and you know, I've got a bunch of free content and reels and things like that that talk specifically about pornography and just different challenges in sort of that short bite content. So yeah, those are the easiest ways to reach out to me.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, just before I go, like, take a break, right? Like, that's my philosophy as well. It's like it has to start with a break, right? Because when we commit to anything other, like we were saying, the brain freaks out. It's like, oh, I'm never gonna have this thing in my life again. It just makes it like 100 times harder. So yeah, it all starts with a break.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. All right, wicked. Well, Jordan, thanks so much for coming on, man. I really loved this conversation. I know the guys are going to find it helpful because there's so many parallels in what we're talking about. Yeah, it's been awesome. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Nice one. And I appreciate you all for listening. Take care. Look after yourselves, and I'll see you again soon. Bye bye for now. Stopping drinking can feel lonely. It doesn't have to be. If you're looking for accountability, motivation, and the tools to stop drinking, I can help you. Simply book a free consult with me today and I'll show you how. Link in the show notes. See you again soon. Bye for now.